The Abraham Zakein, Baba Yamim, and Abraham was old, well on in years. There are several pshatim in Chazal about this pasuk. I want to discuss the different pshatim, and we're going to end up presenting four approaches to this pasuk based on the Mamari Chazal. Okay. So there are two primary Mamari Chazal on this pasuk. The first is as follows. For Abraham Zakein, the Gemara says, Ad Avram lo have zikna. Uman David boy lishtoi b'hadi Avram, havi mishtoi b'hadi Yitzchok. Os Avram lo boy zikna, shenar b'Avram Zakein b'abayam. Until the time of Abraham, this is a Gemara b'Av Metzia, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and it's also in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Until the time of Abraham, there were no physical signs of old age. Therefore, since Avram and Yitzchak were almost identical, whoever wanted to speak with Avram might by mistake talk with Yitzchak, and vice versa. So Avram davened to Hashem, and old age came into being. And the Torah says, V'Avram Zakein Baba Yamim. Avram davened to Hashem that he should not only be old, but he should look old. Well, what's the mocker for this? Where did Chazal get this from? So the Torah Tmima gives the Pashup Shah. The Torah Tmima often presents the Pashup Shah of where Chazal learned things from. It's from the double language, Zakein and Baba Yamim. Baba Yamim means he was old in years. And Zakein means he actually looked old as well. So that's one shot of Chazal. The idea that Abraham davened that there should be zikna, there should be old age, you know, that there should be the signs of old age in a person as well. What's the idea? Why is it so important that we should have the signs of old age? So the Medrash Tanchuma, at the beginning of Chai Sara Aleph, writes, we'll get back to this later, that the main purpose is to ensure that elderly people are treated respectfully by their juniors. The idea of the signs of old age is we should know who the old people are, so they should get the respect they deserve. A person's older, he's lived through more, he deserves more respect. So this is the basic idea. This Medrash Tanchuma is quoted in the Torah Shlema, in Perek Kaf Daled Ha'ara Vav, and also the Art School Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, in footnote 40, quotes this Medrash as well. So that's one shot of Chazal, the idea of the signs of old age. Okay. There's another famous Maimer Chazal. V'Abraham Zakein, Amar Avchama Barab Chanina, Mimeim Shal Aboseinu Lo Paska Yeshiva Mehem. Abraham Zakein, V'Yoshev B'Yeshiva Hayashnem V'Abraham Zakein. That's the Gemara in Yuma, Kaf Chesem Beis, that Abraham was an elder sitting in the academy. He was learning. Abraham was learning Torah. Zakein Yoshev B'Yeshiva. What's the pshat of this Chazal? So again, the Torah Tmima quotes that we know that the word Zakein, Chazal say, refers to Zeh Kana Chachma. Zakein, Zeh, this one has acquired wisdom. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. So when the Torah uses the word Zakein by Avraham, Chazal understood a remez that he was learning. He was Kona Chachma. Oh. And the Torah Tehima writes, V'hainu Dibeloze, En Yitaron L'Zikna Al HaBachros. Why is old age greater if not that you have more chance to acquire wisdom? So Zikna, Zokain, an older person, a wiser person, that's how Chazal understood from the word Zakein, he was Yoshev B'Yeshiva. So these are the two Mamari Chazal with the Pashup Shat. According to the Pashup Shat, there is no inherent connection between these two Mamari Chazal. Two separate ideas. One, Abraham daven for old age, to have the signs of old, the visible signs of old age. And two, he was Yoshev B'Yeshiva. So that's one approach, that these two Mamari Chazal are two separate independent ideas. Okay. However, Rav Shimon Shkop Zatzal, in the introduction to Shari Yosher, says a beautiful, mamish, a deep idea. Stam, you should know that this whole Hakdama, it's very interesting. I don't know if anyone ever published the Hakdama like in English with comments. It's a whole approach to hashkafa and teaching and learning. It's fabulous. It's worthwhile learning. To read through the Haktamah carefully is very worthwhile. Within that Haktamah, in the paragraph that begins V'alpi Dabar Zeh, so Rav Shimon explains as follows. Rav Shimon Shkop writes that he thinks there is a connection between the two Ma'amari Chazal. Rav Shimon writes that from the fact that Chazal say that Avraham was given the signs of old age, one can infer that Avraham was learning and teaching Torah. That the second Maamar Chazal flows out of the first one. This is the deep, deep insight and chiddush of Rav Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon writes, Ikar to'elas lahakir ma'ilu hazikna hu lamislamed. She'im yakir she'ra'ui lefanav lahamik iyuno b'divrei melamdo. Az yasiv hatoeles hanirza. Rav Shimon writes as follows. As far as the visible signs of old age, the primary benefit of a Rebbe who has signs of old age is for a student. Rav Shimon writes that if you're learning be'iyun and you're learning in depth and it's a difficult, challenging topic, well, the student will only learn what he needs to learn from his Rebbe if he's willing to put the effort in to understand what his Rebbe says. Anyone who's been in a high-level Iyun Shir knows this. If you have a basic trust in your Rebbe that he knows what he's doing, then you're going to work hard and analyze it. People argue on the Rebbe, and of course, you don't accept things blindly. But to put the effort in to try to figure out what the Rebbe is saying. So when the Rebbe has signs of old age and you appreciate he's put the years in, he's put the work in, he's a great Talmud Chacham, then the Talmud will gain from that by the Talmud deciding to put the effort in to learn from his Rebbe. So Rav Shimon says, this is very deep, that since Chazal tell us that Avram Avinu achieved the signs of old age, and the main toelos of having old age is for the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Rav Shimon doesn't quote the Medrash Tanchuma and Chayisara, but he's building on it. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the ikra purpose of the signs of old age is that the elderly people should be treated with respect by the younger people. Rav Shimon is going one step further, that the Rabbanim, the teachers, should be treated with respect by their Talmidim, i.e., that they will work hard to understand what the Rebbe is saying. It doesn't mean you follow blindly. You work hard, you try to figure it out. Then you can ask Kasha sometimes. But you appreciate that what the Rebbe is saying is worth putting the effort in. And that's where the Chazal used that idea, and that's where they derived that Avram Avinu was a Zaken, Yoshev B'Yeshiva, teaching Torah, and he was a Rebbe. So Rav Shimon here is assuming that the Pshat of Zaken, Yoshev B'Yeshiva is not just learning, it's also teaching. We'll get back to that a little bit later, Bezrat Hashem. And he's saying the idea that Avram was sitting and learning and teaching Torah flows out of the fact that Chazal emphasized that Avram had the signs of old age. A beautiful, very deep vort. And this is a message for us. Yerzocha to have a Rebbe who has Zikna and the Talmud Chacham and he's worked hard. And the Rebbe says something that you're not so sure what he means. So think about it, work it out, put effort in again and again. You know, and you work to understand what the Rebbe says. And then if you think you finished understanding to a certain degree, then you can ask kashas. But figure out what the Rebbe's saying. It's a big lesson. So the lesson for us is we have to treat our elders with respect. We have to treat people with chachma with extra respect. And if somebody has chachma and says something you're not sure you understand, don't be so quick to disregard it. No. Think about what the person means. Analyze it. Try to figure it out. Put the effort in. Be ma'ayin in it. The ikar toelos of the signs of old age is for the student, Rav Shimon says. And try to figure it out. And put the effort in to learn from your Rebbeim and try to understand. And then, if you put the effort in, after you put the effort in, then, of course, sometimes people ask kashas on their Rebbeim, on what they're saying as well. That's a second approach to these Ma'amari Chazal that they're linked together. There's a third approach to this idea, which is as follows. I heard this from a Chashev Rav. Said as follows. Rav Shimon, in his introduction, he seems to understand that Zaken v'yoshev b'yeshiva refers to teaching, like the Rosh Yeshiva. But when you read the language, the impression you get is Zaken v'yoshev b'yeshiva sounds like he's sitting and learning. He's an old man sitting and learning. Not necessarily the leader or the teacher, the Magid Shir, but he's sitting and learning. So I heard the following approach that worked on Chazal, assuming this Mahalach, that he was sitting and learning, in the context of a very famous Rambam. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodah Kochavim, first he gives a recap, a history, of how Avodah Zarah started. What happened? Then the Rambam explains how Avram Avinu came along, and he believed in Hashem, and he fought against Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam gives a very long, detailed, vivid description of how Avram Avinu spent his time and how his life developed. I'm going to read it for you. It's in Hilchos Avodah Kochavim, Perek Aleph. I think this is a Halacha Beis or Gimel. I'll read it in English. The Rambam writes as follows. After Abraham was weaned, while he was still an infant, his mind began to reflect. By day and by night, he was thinking and wondering, how is it possible that this sphere should continuously be guiding the world and have no one to guide it and cause it to turn around? For it cannot be that it turns around by itself. Avram had no teacher, no one to instruct him. He was submerged in Ur Kasdim among silly idolaters. His father, mother, and the entire population worshipped idols, and he worshipped with them. But his mind was busily working and reflecting until he had attained the way of truth. He had apprehended the correct line of thought, and he knew that there was one God, that he, capital H, guides the celestial sphere and created everything, and that among all that exists, there is no God besides him. He realized that men everywhere were in error, and that what had occasioned the error was that they had worshipped the stars and the images, so that the truth perished from their minds. Avram was 40 years old when he recognized his creator. This is a big discussion. The Rivet and others say, no, he was younger, he was 3 years old. I think the simple pshat is that at the age of three, Avram Avinu developed a relatively straightforward, simplistic approach to Emunah, and then he worked and worked and developed until by the age of 40, it was fully, fully developed. Okay. Having attained this knowledge, he began to refute the inhabitants of Ur Kasdim, arguing with them and saying to them, the course you are following is not the way of truth. He broke the idols and commenced to instruct the people that it was not right to serve any other but the one God of the universe, to him alone it was proper to bow down, offer up sacrifices, and make libations. Oh. And that it was proper to destroy and shatter all the images, so that the people might not err like these who thought that there was no God but these images. When he had prevailed over them with his arguments, the king of the country sought to kill him. He was miraculously saved and emigrated to Haran. He then began to proclaim to the whole world with great power and to instruct the people that the entire universe had but one creator, and that him, capital H, it was right to worship. He went from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, calling and gathering together the inhabitants till he arrived in the land of Canaan. There he proclaimed his message, and he called there in the name of Hashem. When the people flocked to him and questioned him regarding his assertions, he would instruct each one according to his capacity till he had brought him to the way of truth. And thus thousands and tens of thousands joined him. These were the persons referred to in the phrase, men of the house of Abraham. Oh, just that last piece, just to read it in the Hebrew, in the original. Haya modia l'chol echad v'echad kefidaito. Avraham Avinu was personally makarev tens of thousands of people to monotheism. Tens of thousands. This line about modir lechol echad v'echad kifidaito, it's a powerful line. The idea is, when you're doing kiruv and spreading Hashem's name, you have to know what each person needs. The Rambam here is teaching us that Avraham, this is a beautiful vort, by the way. I'm pretty sure I heard this vort from my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig Shlita around 25 years ago. I'm pretty sure that the Rambam emphasizes that he taught Torah kol echad v'echad and hashkafa kifidaito, based on what the person needs. When you're involved in kiruv and teaching Torah, some people need deep philosophical arguments. Some people, the emotional connection is stronger. Some people, just a beautiful vort. And that's a challenge for people in kiruv. It's a beautiful idea. All right. See, here's the Rambam. That the Rambam spent his day involved in kiruv, debates, town to town, city to city. This Rav made a joke. It's like, you know, you picture the Rambam, like, you know, with two kosher cell phones, you know, trying to organize all of his meetings and his debates. How does this Rambam fit with the Maimer Chazal that he was Zaken Yoshev Yeshiva? That's the question which this Rav raised. How do they fit together? It's a fascinating question. Zaken V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva sounds like Avraham Avinu was sitting in a corner learning Torah. And the Rambam sounds like he was out there town to town, having debates, on the phone, setting up meetings, talking to people. He's out there spreading Torah, spreading Torah. So here's a beautiful approach. The Magid Midubno was once talking with the Vilna Gaon. And he asked him, you know, what's the best way to be involved in spreading Torah to others? So the Gra gave the following mashal. You fill up a cup of water, and you fill it and pour, and you fill it and fill it. Then the cup of water overflows, and you put small cups around the large cup. And the overflow from the central large cup spills into the small cups. If a person wants to be successful in teaching Torah and spreading Hashem's name and involved in Kiruv, he has to be working on himself. You have to be filling yourself up and working on yourself. You can't only be involved in helping others. You have to constantly be working on yourself. And it could be this is how the Medrash, the Maamar Chazal and the Rambam fit together. Avraham Avinu was out there spreading Emunah, spreading monotheism, spreading Hashem's name. But at the same time, the Chazal were emphasizing to us, he continued to work on himself whenever he had a chance. Zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva, he was sitting and learning sugyas in halacha, learning sugyas in emunah, working on himself to have the overflowing cup. And it's a big yesod that when a person is a Rebbe, a person is a teacher, it isn't enough to only be out there spreading. You have to work on yourself as well. And that's the lesson being taught to us here. That a Rebbe has to find time for his own personal growth. And it's not being selfish. Adarabba. The only way to be fully successful is if you continue working on yourself and then you're able to give to others, as well. We find a similar idea regarding parenting. This is in the writings of Rav Orlovik, Shlita, and others, that who you are to your children is much more important than what you say to them. What does that mean? That means we talk to our kids, we teach them things, we tell them things, it's all very important. But if in our own personal lives, the midos that we exhibit don't fit with the preaching that we do, it's not going to work. If you want to be a successful parent and you want to transmit proper Torah values and proper midos to your children, you have to work on yourself and work on your own commitment to Torah and your own commitment to midos. Who you are to your children is much more important than what you say to them. That's exactly this idea. We're out there, we want to train our kids and help them and guide them as best we can. We can't forget we have to always be working on ourselves and working on ourselves and trying to make our own midos better and our own Avodas Hashem better, because without that it's not going to go. So this is a third approach to this Maamari Chazal, that if you want to take the Zaken V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva, not exactly the way Rav Shimon said, not that he was like a Rebbe, Magid Shir, Rosh Yeshiva, no, he was still learning. And take that Maamari Chazal and blend it in with the Rambam, this is a beautiful explanation of how the two ideas blend together. L'maisa, Avraham Avinu was out there spreading Torah, spreading Avodas Hashem, spreading monotheism. And the way he was successful was, he was at the same time, Zaken, V'Yoshev, V'Yeshiva. That's a third approach to Avraham being old. There's a fourth approach to the idea that Avram was old. This was developed by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal the Rav, and he developed it within the broader context of Avram Avinu's life and how the Torah describes it. We find something very interesting. There are three parashios in the Torah which discuss, focus on Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayei Sara. Each of these parashios span approximately 30, 35 years of Abraham's life. Parashas Lech Lecha is full of Avram's activities. In Lech Lecha, he goes down to Mitzrayim. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. He goes down to Mitzrayim. He deals with Paro. There's a struggle. There's a fight between the Roi Avram and the Roi Lot. Lot's taken captive. Avram goes to fight and help Lot. He fights a war. The Bris Ben Abasarim, the promise of Bris Mila. So many things. The mitzvah of Bris Mila. Parshas Vayera. Again, full of action. Avram is Machnis Orchim. And the Malachim come. He davens for stone. And then the Akedas Yitzchak. Chai Sarah. The Torah describes that Avraham found a burial plot for Sarah. The Torah describes that Avraham sent Eliezer to help find a wife for Yitzchak. At that point, Avraham is 137 years old. And then, he drops off the map. For the next 38 years, we don't hear anything about Avraham Avinu. It's very striking. 38 years. Roughly the same amount of time of Lech Lecha, roughly the same amount of time as Vayera. And we hear nearly nothing about Avraham's life. What happened to Avraham? The Rav pointed this out. This is printed in Shirei HaRav, page 120 to 121. When Sarah died, Avraham not only lost his wife, but also realized that he had completed his covenantal role. Avram outlived Sarah by 38 years, yet no events are recorded about his life in this period, with the exception of the purchase of a burial ground for Sarah, the Maros HaMachpela, and the acquisition of Rivka for Isaac, for Yitzchak. The latter was not important for Avraham's sake, but rather because of Rivka. The patriarchal covenant could now continue and be passed on to Yitzchak and Rivka. The Rav continues, no other events related to Avraham are recorded because his task had been completed. The Rav here is saying a very, very beautiful, deep idea that Avraham Avinu is as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made the bris with the Avos, it was the bris with the Avos and the Imos together as a unit. It was the Avraham-Sarah unit with whom Hashem made his bris. Therefore, when Sarah died, Abraham's role as one of the Avos became diminished. And what's Abraham's new role? His new role is to help Yitzchak begin his role as the next of the Avos. This is beautiful. So first, of course, Abraham finds a burial plot for Sarah. And now Abraham's new role is to start Yitzchak on his path towards becoming the next of the Avos. But that can't happen unless he's married, unless he has a wife. And immediately Avram begins to search for a wife for Yitzchak. This is why Avram Avinu drops off the map. Because the last 38 years of his life, he wasn't playing the major role anymore. His role was now secondary to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is now the primary Av, in a sense, during that era, because Yitzchak is married, and the bris is made, the covenantal community, the Rav calls it, the bris is made with the husband and wife team as a unit. The Rav used this to explain and discuss the idea that even though men and women have different roles in Yadus, but of course they're equally important. And that is emphasized by the fact that from the very beginning, the bris Hashem made with the Avos was together with the Avos, with the Imos, and with the Avos and Imos together. And once Sarah dies, Abraham's role becomes diminished. This approach of the Rav, I think, might be really hinted at already in the Medrash. The Medrash Tanchuma in Chai Sara Gimel writes, Kishemesa Sara Kafsa Zikna Avraham. When Sarah died, old age caught up with Avraham Avinu. The Medrash is responding to a question. The Pasuk writes, at the beginning of Perek Aleph, Avraham was old. The impression one gets is now suddenly he's old. Why is he old now? What about five sukkim ago? What about last Perek? Why is he suddenly old now? So the Medrash is saying to us, yes, once Sarah died, yes, that is when Avraham felt old age and it caught up with him. Kafs Zikna Avraham. I think this Medrash might be the root of what the Rav was describing. Without his wife, he wasn't the same, the Medrash is telling us. Without his wife, Avraham wasn't the same, and then his role as one of the Avos was somewhat diminished. In various speeches, the Rav himself described this applied to himself as well, with his own wife, that he would often discuss his shiurim with his public lectures with her first. And the Rav describes very movingly that soon after his wife died, and he wanted to, again, you know, to discuss with her and prepare with her, and then he felt that tremendous loss. The Rav once said in a public lecture, "The same is true regarding my mother and my wife. A few days ago, I was writing this annual sermon on repentance. I always used to talk about it with my wife. She would help me develop and polish my ideas. Again this year, while I was writing this lecture, I wanted to ask her, 'Could you please help me? Should I shorten this idea? Should I expand on this point? Should I stress this concept or another one?' I asked my wife, but there was no response. If there was a reply, it was lost in the rustling of the trees and did not reach me." The Rav was describing the idea of avelus, when you feel that sense of loss. Someone you had such the ability to talk to all the time, and then once you lose that chance, you know, the chance to talk even 5 minutes, you would appreciate. So the way the Rav describes the Avraham Sara unit, the Avos Nemos unit, he described about himself as well with his wife. I found that the place where this vort of the Rav is developed most fully, as far as I know in print, is in the wonderful Sefer by Rabbi Dr. Menachem Breyer Zatzal. It's called The Jewish Woman in Rabbinic Literature, A Psycho-Historical Perspective, page 199. And he adds more to this approach of the Rav, that Avraham was old and was suddenly old when Sarah died, and that's when he, in a sense, drops off the map. Concerning this point, Rabbi Soloveitchik once made the following interesting observation. The Torah, after it records the passing of our matriarch Sarah, gives no further details of the life and experiences of our patriarch Avraham, except for a detailed account of how he purchased the Maris HaMachpelah as a burial plot for his wife Sarah, and how he charged his servant Eliezer to find a suitable wife for his son Yitzchak. This fact is indeed strange, when one considers that Avraham outlived Sarah by 38 years. Why is it then that the Torah chooses to tell us nothing further of his activities during this long period of time? The answer to this question is that when Hashem entered his covenant with man and woman, it was with Avraham and Sarah. It was for this reason that the covenantal promises made to Avraham concerning his descendants for all generations could not possibly be realized through Yishmael. It was not sufficient merely to be a descendant of Avraham. One had also to be a descendant of Sarah. And now he quotes a beautiful pshat in the psukim back in Lech Lecha. Hence, when Avraham asked of Hashem, "Lu Yishmael Yechiel Fanecha," when Hashem told Avraham he's going to have a son, another son, Avraham said, "I already have Yishmael." And Hashem said, "Aval, no. Sarah ishtecha yoledes lecha vein. No, it has to be with Sarah, your wife. Yishmael was not from Sarah. It has to be with Sarah, your wife." The Rav continues, "The covenantal community could only be carried on by Yitzchak, who was Sarah's son as well. Both Avraham and Sarah assume equally the awesome responsibility of the establishment of the covenantal community, and both we need it for its success. For man and woman differ not only physiologically, but also metaphysically and existentially. They have two existential human destinies, which are different, yet complement each other, and when fused together, form a complete covenantal community in its relationship with Hashem. Thus, when Sarah died, Abraham realized that his mission as a founder of the covenantal community had come to an end, and it was time to pass it on to the next generation, to his son Yitzchak, and to Yitzchak's wife. Abraham immediately set about his one remaining important task, that of finding a suitable mate for Yitzchak, so that the two of them could together carry on the mission of founding the covenantal community. It was therefore this episode alone, a detailed description of how Abraham went about choosing a wife for Yitzchak through a servant Eliezer, that the Torah team deemed necessary to record concerning the remainder of Abraham's life. Beautiful presentation of the Rav's idea, with the additional point here describing the give and take back in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem made the bris with the team, the unit of the Avos and the Imahos together. This is another angle on Abraham Zaken. Just wanted to add one point. You know, when I first heard this word about from the Rav, in the name of the Rav, it bothered me a little bit that this isn't the only episode described about Abraham. At the end of Chayei Sarah, the Torah describes that Abraham remarries and has children. He remarries, Keturah, some say Keturah was Hagar, he has children, he gives them presents and sends them away. So that's another episode of Abraham's life. How does that fit in with the Rav's whole approach? Well, the truth is, that whole episode is itself just a little difficult. Why did Abraham get married again? What was the point? So it's interesting. The Abarah B'Nela raises that question. Why did Abraham get married again? It's very unclear. The Abarah B'Nela raises six possible explanations as to why Abraham decided to remarry and have more children. What's very striking is four of the six explanations of the Abarah B'Nela revolve around Abraham remarrying in order to help build up Yitzchak. Look in the Abarbanel. I'll mention one example of the four. The Abarbanel writes that Yishmael was going to challenge Yitzchak as to who's going to be the official heir of Abraham Avinu. So Abraham remarried, had more children, and then, obviously not from Sarah, and then gave them presents and sent them away. The message was, any of my children who aren't born from Sarah, they're sent away. So this would show that Yitzchak, who was born from Sarah, is unique. And Yishmael, who was born from Hagar, who was the second wife, and some say Keturah was Hagar herself, then it's even more powerful. So they're sent away. So Abraham was trying to group his later children together with Yishmael to show the world, to show Yishmael, he's separated, and Yitzchak is the special one. That's one of the approaches of the Abarah B'Nela, but he has other ones as well. So if you take the approach of the Abarah B'Nela, it fits beautifully, beautifully. That episode as well, Abraham's primary goal in the episode of having more children at the end of Chayei Sarah was to help build up Yitzchak, because now Abraham's new role is to build up Yitzchak as the next one of the Avos. Oh. This is a fourth angle on Abraham becoming old. Kishemesha Sarah, Kafsa Zikna al Abraham. The message, of course, is, as the Rav so beautifully explained, that although men and women have different roles, they're equal and equal in importance, and we see this from the very mamish beginning of Yadus, that the bris that Hashem made with Abraham was with the Abraham-Sarah unit. And that's why it had to be Yitzchak. And that explains why Abraham, in a sense, drops off the map for most of the last 38 years of his life. These are four approaches to the Pasuk and the Mamari Chazal that Abraham Zaken, Baba Yami. Okay, we'll stop here.